Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find several speaker feeds with over 800 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep the special service active. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Craig Kay. Yay!
Good evening. I'm Craig. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I'm overwhelmed. It's kind of I'm overwhelmed in gratitude. Mary Pat, thank you. My mom is. I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Those who are very close to me really know that. My mom's 91, and I was bitching to a fellow a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I have to see her every Sunday, and he looked at me and he said, "Is your abstinence and is program a privilege?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "So is seeing your mother." And I have to start it like that because this is a privilege. And I want to welcome the newcomers, Jin, and I even wrote it down. Well,
John Michael,
thank you. I want to welcome you both. I was in your chairs. I was in your seats. Okay? We've all been new. All of us have been new. This has saved my life. This continues to save my life. This isn't, I've lost some weight and I feel great. I've lost a lot of weight. I feel great. Then I feel shitty. Then I feel good. Then I feel bad. And I feel. And I go through a lot. And I don't have to eat. The one thing I want to do is, since, good Lord, 6:20, it's a long time. Is someone timing me? Can someone time me? Like 10, 10, and 10? That'd be great, just so I know where I'm at. Because I'll speak for hours, and it's way too much. I want to get the facts and figures out of the way. I started in Overeaters Anonymous 1988. My first abstinence date was 11-8-88, which was like the coolest. I would always keep that. I knew I would always keep that. I was wrong. I knew how to eat. I knew how to run my business. I knew how to have relationships. I was wrong. So I learned how to do all the above, so much more. And you hear it often, you know, to get out my story in half an hour or less, please. So I started. My first abstinence date was 11-8-88. And in those days, I have to do it just because I feel like it. I literally talked like this. I'm not exaggerating. I was always on, because I have always wanted to act, and I've always wanted to perform, and I finally had a therapist say to me, then get paid for it. Start living your life. And I didn't find this voice until many years later in a voiceover class. I don't act. I don't do voice. You know, that's not my profession, but I acted because I was so uncomfortable. As I said, I don't know what's going to come out. So I had it, I was 12-stepped by a therapist who said, name three things. So God came into my life through this therapist. I was brought up, you know, upper middle class Jewish in the valley. Dysfunctional, right? Whatever. I'm a native. And I don't care where you come from, dysfunctional, whatever that word means. And I didn't know how to do life. So I went to a therapist, and it was, I was here with the therapist, and there was a one-way mirror with you all, a classroom. I would be willing to do this today because I will do anything to keep my abstinence. And I call it my sobriety. I call it my sober with food. I don't drink alcohol. It's part of my abstinence, but I call it my sobriety. And but I didn't realize I was willing to do it. And she said, name three things you want to change in your life. I said, a relationship, a career. I got to lose weight. She said, which one do you think you can start today? And I said, lose weight. She goes, great. And in those days, we had paper. And she said, here's a meeting schedule of Overeaters Anonymous. You may want to give it a try. And I proceeded to ask her questions, and she, no. She says, here is what I do. I said, what is it? She goes, my husband is a sober alcoholic, and he's been sober many years. And I did the same thing with food, and I no longer do it. I thought, That I get. I didn't get to what extent I used food alcoholically until after doing a lot of work and hearing you all and going, right? Because I started here with that big voice. I stopped. My first meeting was an anorexic bulimic meeting, and I walked in and I saw all these really beautiful women and one dude in the corner who was a big dude. And I went, because I could relate to him, right? And I walked in, and this woman at the front door, and I asked her many years ago, can I use your name? She goes, absolutely. I walk in, and she goes, she hugs me. She goes, welcome home. We love you. I'm Lisa Joy. I'm like, oh, my God. I wanted to run. I really did. But guess what? She freaking meant it. I didn't know what it meant, right? So I had 11 years. I came into program 199. I'm never going to get to 200. Never, ever. So I didn't. Got to 167, 170s, 180s. Pretty healthy body weight. And then I worked. It's actually good that this is recorded. I'll forget the names. I had a sponsor for many years who has, like, you know, 800 years in this program still. And I called him one day, and I'm cheap. I'm not cheap with others, but I'm still pretty cheap with myself. And I was at Target buying fancy jeans. And I called him, and I said, I'm in a pair of 34 jeans. He goes, great, darling. Hold on to it, because that could leave you next week. Mm. I was offended. Mm. I was appalled. I was insulted. Guess what? That mother knew what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I went out. And I went out, and I came back. My last weighed weight was 272, okay? So I was a 46, 48 waist. Today I'm a 34, 36-inch waist. I've gone up a couple of, more than a pound, like 10 to 20 pounds in the last few years, eating the same freaking food. My way is to go on a diet. What I've learned here is no, you go to your sponsor, you go to your fellows, you go to a nutritionist. I'm doing what they have suggested. Come to find out it's a medication-related thing. Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm taking direction, and the weight's coming off, which is great because I don't have to tell you what it's like. So 30 left. Fabulous. Thank you. Good Lord, 30 minutes. Like I couldn't fill it. So I had 11 years, and I went out, and the other thing that happened was that I stood up at the old kitchen sink, the old log cabin on Robertson, and in those days when you, at that meeting, you stood up and you said, hi, I'm Craig, I'm a compulsive overeater, I have 11 years. And I stood up and I went, I'm Craig, compulsive overeater, I have 11 years. And I sat down, and he came up to me after the meeting, he said, don't you ever take this for granted, right after the jeans incident, and he knew. Because I owned a business. I was the only one who owned a business. I was the only one who had to figure out taxes, which I never paid because I was different. I'm paying for them now. Believe me, part of the financial amends. Oh, am I paying for them? On time. Didn't do that. Had a horrific credit score. Great credit score now. So if you're new and you're looking at me going, what the hell does this have to do with the food? None of it happened until I got clean with the food. It doesn't make sense. What I love is how it works in the book. I don't know and I don't care. But I do what is suggested that all of you who have gone before me and after me have done. So my thing is, so I have 13 plus years. You're brand new. Here's what I would do in my experience. When I saw somebody with 13 years, I'm never going to get there. Grab somebody with 6 months. Grab somebody with a week. Grab somebody with a year. You may be able to relate to them more. It may be better. I don't know. Or call me. Call someone. Grab a sponsor. Please grab a sponsor. It suggests grabbing a sponsor. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I work the steps. I do 3 to 5 meetings a week. I speak with my sponsor. I speak with my sponsees. My sponsor travels a lot. He's in his car a lot. And we have our set 6 a.m. Tuesday to read, to do, but we talk all the time. And he says, I'm never going to say, don't call me. When I'm out of the country or when I'm here, you'll know, but call me. That's what I'm here for. So, wait. Schwitzen, guys. Here's the other thing that's very interesting. In the old days, I've been reminded of this lately. I would have had to bring 2 to 3 changes of shirts, as embarrassing as that is. It was horrible. Didn't stop me from eating. So, sweating a little. It's hot. To say this is saving my life on a daily basis is an understatement. So I got here, what happened, what it's like now. As I said, I jump around. March 12th, so I owned a business for many years. It was successful for a while. I got too busy. And got way too busy for you people. You people worked the steps. You people went to meetings. You people called your sponsors. It's like, you don't get it. I'm different, right? And I bought my little red midlife crisis sports car, which I had to get rid of because I couldn't afford it anymore because I stopped paying bills. I stopped paying, you know, I was very, 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 very irresponsible to others and to myself. Today I'm really responsible. And I can say that wholeheartedly and mean it. I'm honest. I am here with my chosen brother and sister. And when I told them, when they found out, I told them I'm leaving, like, okay, we'll be there. That's what we do to the newcomer. That's what we do. I have a family, and I have a chosen family in here. It's a very large one, and it's a very small one. It depends. Some, you know, I don't have a million friends, but all of you get me, and you get me, I get you. Is this me? Oh, boy. Thank you. March 12th, 2020. So I lost the business, sold my little red sports car. And before that, I had 11 years, went out. 5 years, went out. 3 years, went out. 2 years, went out. Then I went out for a long time. And I can't make anybody get abstinent. No, but none of you could make me get abstinent. There's no way in hell. It's not possible. And what happened was I pulled into my driveway in my little red sports car, and I said, I'm dying, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I am dying. And picked up the phone, and I called a man who I had been seeing for about 3 years for chiropractic. And on his door, it said, chiropractor, nutritionist. That's what I saw. Right? So I do not say to my sponsors, you have to see a nutritionist. No, that's not what this is about. It's my story, and that's all I'm here to share. And I called him, and I said, Laura, I need to see Ron first thing in the morning. She's like, well, let me look at his schedule. I said, no, I need to see him. She goes, get in. So I got in, and he did whatever he did. He said, here's what your foods are allergic to. Okay. So for about a month, I stuck to his diet, and I was losing weight. When you're putting in 12 Diet Cokes a day, you might not gain weight, but it's sure gonna goof with your system. When you're eating the amounts of calories and sugar and flour that I was eating, and you stop that, you're going to lose weight. And it took about 3 weeks, thank God, and I literally woke up one morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I went, who are you who has been around Overeaters Anonymous so long to think you can do this alone without meetings, without a sponsor, without the fellowship? Walked into a meeting, walked to the scariest man in the room, doesn't scare me any longer. I said, would you be my sponsor? And he said, yeah, let's talk about your food. And I'm thinking, oh, please. So I showed him the plan. He said, did you create this plan? I said, no. He said, great. I am powerless over food. Powerless over my behavior. I'm powerless. So I needed someone. You. You know, if I'm in a meal with somebody, and I am it's very rare that I'm uncomfortable with my food, because it's very clear. It's very black and white. But if I'm uncomfortable, I will say, make me a plate. Please make me a plate. Please put the fruit on. I don't have my scale. Please. Now, I weigh very few things. Plate of food, 6 ounces or less of fruit, 5 ounces of rice. I'm trying to think of what else I weigh. Alan probably knows more than I do. But I And my bottom line behaviors are my bottom line behaviors. I abstain from corn. So if I get a salad and there's a piece of corn in it, and I go, that looks good. I think I'm going to eat it. Or if I ate it and I went, holy crap, I think there was corn in there. There's a big difference, a conscious decision. I'm very clear on my food. And if you're new, I'll say it again. Please grab a sponsor. Please grab someone who might be your sponsor. Please grab someone else who can give you some clarity on your food. I am not an alcoholic when it comes to, have I drank alcoholically? Absolutely. Have I done drugs too much? Absolutely. Not my thing. I could stop it. I was working with a sponsor for a while. She said, you drink? I said, yeah, I do. Not a lot. She goes, well, if you're going to work with me, you can't. I said, okay, and I stopped. Tell me that with food? No. So that's how that was. And I was with her for many years. So I was with one for many years. I keep my sponsors for a long time. I've been with my current sponsor for, I believe, 5 years. He has less than half the abstinence than I do. And it's a gift. Because I'll say to him, you have no idea. In 1994, blah, 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 in OA. And then he goes, 8/5/23. Oh, yeah, today, right? I don't care what happened back then. Once again, I don't know if I'm finishing any of my thoughts in my sentences, but it's what's coming up. It's overwhelming. It's very emotional to be in a room of fellows who get me, who get the Mishigas, and can hopefully hear that with my whatever, I'm not eating over it. With fears, with excitement, with a great job, the best one I've had in my entire life. I'll never work for anybody else. I love working for somebody else. It's awesome. It's the best job I've ever had. I'm financially solvent. That's crazy. That's a great reason to eat. Poor, great reason to eat. Rich, great reason to eat. Fancy car, great reason to eat. Sunshine, heat, rain. That's 20? Wonderful. 20 left? Oh, I will. Tell me a 10, please. Or I'll be here till midnight. Whatever I go through, it's really funny. I don't eat through it. I texted Mary Pat a couple days ago, and I'm like, oh my God, our assistant's not going to be there today, and I may not have to leave on time, and I'm not sure. I got here a half an hour early. When I get out of the way and I turn it over to a power greater than myself, whether that is, if you're agnostic, I'm not. I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. If you're agnostic, great. There's a chapter. If you have a religion, there is something bigger than me. And I called my sponsor one morning a couple of years ago. I was going through a really, really tough patch. I said, I'm trying to figure out God. Who is God? What is God? I don't get it. Blah, 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 blah. He said, it's your day off, right? I said, yeah. He goes, do you want a suggestion? I said, yeah, you're my sponsor. Do you want it? He said, yeah. He goes, you like going to the beach, don't you? I said, I love it. He goes, great. Do me a favor. Go to the beach, park your car, walk to the water. Easy. And try stopping the waves. I can't do that. So there is a power greater than me. Is that power helping me to stop compulsively overeat every day? Some power is. You know, I was brought up Jewish, traditionally Jewish, not religious. There's a power greater than myself, right? I don't know what it is. I don't care. But there is a power greater than myself. So March 12, 2020, I get my new job. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. We're based in New York. We get a call, and we hear this COVID thing is getting serious. It's kind of serious on the East Coast, but it sounds like it's making it to L.A. We're going to close for a couple of weeks, and I have 3 days at this place, 3 days of training. I go home. I knew I would get laid off because I'm the new kid in town. I knew. I'm still there. I'm excelling. I'm the number one salesperson. I love what I do. I love my boss. I love the company. I mean, it is out of my control. I work. There is a human that I have issues with at work, as shocking as that may be. What do? I tell my sponsor. I tell you all. I write about it. I text about it. I had the most lovely day with this person today. I pulled in the parking lot. I said, God, would you friggin' take this person? Just take him, please. I walked in. It's a quiet day. We had the loveliest day. It's not always like that. But when I take the action that is suggested, my sponsor never says, you have to do this and you have to do that. It's just not what he's like. He says, if you want what I have, you may want to do it. And that's how I do with my sponsees. Once again, I cannot make you get abstinent. So I have that job today. Every Sunday, it is a privilege to see my mom. Do I always want to drive out to Ventura County? Uh-uh. Do I do it? Uh-huh. Don't want to go to work every day? Uh-uh. Do I do it? Uh-huh. This morning I woke up early. So this is today. And I was sharing with a fellow, no matter what I did yesterday, today I woke up, prayed, set the timer for 11 minutes, I meditated, my coffee, had my meal, absent meal, the same thing I have every day, went to a meeting. And it's funny, I called someone yesterday, I said, you're going to the night meeting, are we going to the Saturday morning meeting? And that person's like, yeah. I don't make up my, because I was speaking at a meeting tonight, I don't need to go to that meeting. Yeah, you do. So you call someone else. They have a better idea. And I went. Then I went to work. Then I was responsible. Now I'm here. Now I'm going to have fellowship with fellows, with dinner with fellows. I will go home. I believe I will be abstinent tonight. You know, the beauty is, if you're new and you're listening to me going, what the hell is he talking about? Right? Which I would. Here's the beauty. You got 5 hours, 54 minutes to go. That's it. And that's 1 minute at a time. That's 1 hour. There have been times where I had trouble, a lot of trouble. And it flashed back to a grand sponsee of mine who's still abstinent, thank God. I think it was every 20 minutes, 30 minutes he called me and or texted me to get through the day. Really? Yeah, really. What are you going to do from point A to point B? Because from point A to point B, there are many fast food places that I used as a drug. So I got high with food. I don't do that today. Why? Because it's a gift. Why? Because I'm willing. I'm willing to stand up here in schvitz and be obsessed about how I look. I don't give a shit. I really don't. Fortunately, this is not videotaped. It's just, you know, microphone. But the truth is, my life has less highs and lows, and my life was all about highs and lows. When I do lead, as I said, my voice was big when I got here, and I tried to impress the hell out of you. You know what? We see through us. We know bullshit. I know bullshit. And there's nothing I cannot say to my sponsor in the outside world. We're very different. I think I've shocked him. But, you know, I want to talk about the steps very briefly. If you're brand new and I'm going to talk about the four step, forget about it. Do point 0.25, then do 0.5, then step one. Stop. Step two. Stop. There's an order. Right? I'm currently doing another inventory. Oh, I don't need to. I got 13 years. Yeah, I do. 66 people on there. This is with 13 years of abstinent and in program since 1988. That is embarrassing. Well, guess what? It's fact. And when I got to 30, I called my sponsor and said, I'm ready for the next column. He goes, how many are on there? I said, 30. He goes, Craig, I can walk out of my front door and things are great. We're very different. He said, you walk out of your front door, you're angry at the sky. You're angry at the weather. You're angry at the wind. 30 is not enough. Keep going. Sure enough, 66 people. Lucky 66. So I'm working on that again. All I know is my phone number is 818-679-7875. I guess this is recorded, so that's, you need it, you call me. And, you know, in the other program, if you're going to drink or you're going to use, you call people. And I've heard it so often. I can't wake him up. You sure as hell, yes, you can. I would much rather you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm going to eat, and call me at 9 o'clock in the morning and say, well, I didn't want to wake you up, but I binged. For God's sakes, get out of yourself. Get willing. Get willing to get better and get a better life and take that chance to bother someone else, because it allows me to do that to you. And if you're wondering what all this has to do with it, my job is to be of service and carry the message. So if you're wondering, I don't know, I'm going to try this out. If you do it, then you're able to give it away. And that's when the whole turnaround, when you're able to give it away. And you hear an inventory. I'm going through a process now with 8th Step with a sponsee, and it's just like, it's magical. I can tell you all about it, but until you do it yourself, you just don't get it. There's nothing like giving this program away. I cannot keep it until I give it away. So I truthfully, I don't know what I've just said. But I do hope that at least I've helped one person. And I'm very grateful. So thank you for allowing me to be a servant. Do I have reading? Oh, question time? Am I reading something or am I just... Oh, question time. So who has a question? Oh, Mary Pat.
Hi, I was wondering. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said, like, you know, when you went out.
Yeah.
Like, what was sort of going through your head or, you know, what was your thinking or how did the going out happen? Or,
yeah.
Like, did it happen? Were you aware of it?
No.
Were you not aware of it? You know, and then, you know, what got you there?
Little things. Oh, absolutely. When I was about to go out, what was the process of going out? It's a great question. It doesn't just happen overnight. It starts up here. And then I get too busy. And I can't make that meeting. And then work is more important. Family is more important. The cat is more, anything that is more important than my abstinence, and it repeats and repeats and repeats, I'll go out. How do I know? Because I've done it more than once. Am I proud of it? It is what it is. I'm an addict. I'm a hardcore addict. So it doesn't just happen overnight. Two weeks ago, I was really concerned about some things going on in my life. I took action. I shared it. Did I share it? And shared it and shared it and shared it and shared it and shared it. I don't keep secrets. Yes, please.
What does a typical day of eating look like for you?
Great question. What does a typical day of eating look like to me? I can be specific. I get up in the morning, I have oatmeal and 6 ounces of fruit and a bag of nuts. I cannot eat nuts like a gentleman. Right? Most foods, it's very interesting with nuts. I'll be specific for me. This is about Overeaters Anonymous. This is about food. So, talk about it. Most foods I can't eat one of or a thing of. With nuts, I can. Does not bother me. A little pre-measured thing. I have that once a day. Lunch is usually a salad. It's the same flipping salad every day. I can give you specifics. Dinner, protein, vegetable, and a carb. If I'm home, I measure the carb. If I'm at a restaurant, I take what they give me. I don't measure vegetables. I actually binged on broccoli once. It was really funny to me. But I don't measure vegetables. I do measure fruit. So it's pretty much the same thing every day. Boring, and I love it. I love my food. I don't think, I don't want to eat my food. I love my food. I enjoy it. Yes, please.
Thank you so much for your service. Can you talk about how you work your program, like, at work with just the daily, you know, everything that happens?
How do I work my program at work? Amazing question. And those who know me well, honey, ain't easy. Imperfectly. Here's the first answer. I don't eat over it. My food does not change. So what I do after that, if it's an oops or if it's a screw up, I can eventually make amends, if appropriate, right? So what do? I do a lot of prayer. I do a lot of gritting my teeth. on my, this is great, on my desk, it says A-I-A-C-O-G. God bless my assistant. She saw it. She goes, I love her. She's like, what is that? And I was like, oh, my God. And what it says is, I'm going to say, person is a loving child of God. So whenever I want to throw the phone at this person, I look at that post-it. I'm old school. Paper and pen, baby. I look at that post-it. I look at that post-it. Last week, a mistake was made. And it was no big deal. I made a little mistake. Well, I'm an addict, so I, I'm a human. I went to a big deal. And I thought, I was upset. I was really freaked out, this and that. I went to lunch, called a fellow. I said, here's what I want to do. Maybe, nah, do that. Great. I walked in. I walked into my boss, who I love, and I said, here's what happened. Do I need to take any further action with this person? No. Let it go. Great, thanks. I take my work issues to pen and paper. I take it to text. I take it to calling. I take it to my sponsor. I do not hold on to it because I will eat. Because I have. There's a great, oh my God, this is a really weird flashback. A man who worked for me when I had my company, you know, my name was on the label. My name was on the building. My name was on the car. That was me. So when I lost that, I didn't sell my business. I walked away from it. I owed money. My identity was gone. But my identity, there's a picture, the man who used to work for me and we're still friends, he sent it to me, and there I was at my desk doing something with my 32-ounce bag of M&Ms. So there I was with my drug. I look great. I look great. I was happy and had my business and paying bills with my drugs. I don't do that anymore. Yes?
Thank you, Craig, for your service. I did listen to your story, so thank you. Can you talk a little bit about how you deal with your food when there's sickness involved? If you haven't been feeling well?
Yes. How do I deal with my food if there's sickness involved? I had COVID twice. And first thing I did, of course, called my sponsor and said, help, I had no appetite, which, believe me, it came back. And every meal was disgust. So I eat 3 meals a day and 2 optional snacks, and they're very defined. I can be specific after hours. But if I'm sick, I have a go-to meal. If I'm really upset, like I have upset stomach, oatmeal, fine. Not with nuts if I've had it in the morning. That's my little specific thing. So my food doesn't really change when I'm sick. Rarely does my food change because I'm sick, just because I still want to eat. But COVID is a flash where I had no appetite. And basically, I was in contact pretty much before every meal, or in the morning or at night. I couldn't talk. I had it early on. It was really bad. But I never made the decision myself. So I don't know if that's specific enough, and if you want some specifics, please call me. Please, please. Yes, please.
So what qualifies as a relapse for you, and, like, does this mean, like, I can't eat Korean barbecue again?
We can go to Korean barbecue. No. Here's the thing. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a sponsor yet?
No, not in this program.
Okay. Get one. Seriously, in my experience, my abstinence is different than his, which is, I eat with him a lot, I eat with her a lot. We eat different things. So it's a very defined abstinence. I had to find out, what foods can I not eat like a gentleman? I cannot eat chocolate, corn, whole list. Now, I have a friend who will go out for, you know, I have a Cobb salad that's the size of this room. And if my weight doesn't change, I weigh once a month. It did change. I shared that. Now I'm taking action. But my food is my food. Decided. Your food, get with someone. Here's what I suggest. Don't decide it yourself. Because that is a diet. That doesn't work. So there's no black and white. There's no black and white answer. If you want to talk about it, please take my number. I would be thrilled to talk to you about that. Great question. That's the crux. Yes, sir.
Hi. Hi, Craig. Thank you for your share. Awake has wonderful promises for that. We will, you know, act on that rather than react to it. Do you still have hang-ups or character defects that kind of trip you up? And
Holly, Alan, did you want to take the microphone on that?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Do I still have character defects that come up? Oh, yeah. You want to hear great ones? This is awesome. I'm going to the West Side. I don't have a black Range Rover. I don't make $1 million a year. But I'm in Brentwood, and everyone here has those things. And if they do, they're all happy, joyous, and free. Judgment, resentment, jealousy, anger, you name it, baby. Are they there? Sure. I'll tell you about them. I'll tell my sponsor about them. I will speak from a podium. Oh, absolutely. They come back, you know, ask God to remove them. Craig can't remove them. You can't remove them from me, in my experience. God, a higher power, when that higher power is ready, rarely is it quick enough. Does it come and go? Absolutely. Does it get better? My experience with my colleague today is a perfect example. You name a character defect and I have it with him. You name it, baby. It is there. Not today. 8-5.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about visiting your parent?
Yeah.
That it went from, ugh to...
Oh, yeah.
Changing your attitude.
Totally.
How you do that.
How do I deal with how visiting a parent, my attitude changed? She makes me laugh. She makes me laugh hard. She's funnier than hell, right? And she called me. It was interesting. I called her on my way to work. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She goes, I said, "I'm on my way to work." And she said, "No, it's Sunday, honey. You're on your way over here." And I got, and I called one of the two of them or both of them, I don't remember, immediately. I'm sad. So here's what I did with my mom. "Hey, Mom, I forget dates." I said, "You're a rich retired lady, right?" She's not a rich lady. She's a retired lady, right? At 75, they forced her out. And what I told her was this. I said, "Mom, I forget things too. How about, are you willing to let it go and look forward to tomorrow when we're going to be together?" So I've changed my attitude. I am excited to see her. I get joy at seeing her. I open up my iPad and we order books. She reads a book every 2 days. I get joy. How did that happen? A big switch was when a fellow said, "It is a privilege." And I woke up thinking, how many 61-year-olds have a 91-year-old mother? How many people have 91-year-old parents? Not many. And I realized it. So thank you for allowing me to be of service.